Welcome to Metamorphosis with Dr. Tassel Faith. In the next hour, you will embark on a journey to awaken your inner identity, remember the truth of who you are, and come home to yourself. Enter your transformative chrysalis, experience the fundamental change you need, and emerge a leader for your own life and for the planet. Transform your world naturally and supernaturally. Metamorphosis begins now.
Hello, I'm Dr. Tassel Faith, your priestess of metamorphosis, and you are listening to the Metamorphosis Show on the Transformation Network. Please stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience your own personal metamorphosis. I am just beyond honored and excited today to have the most amazing Sandra Ingerman on our show, and I just wanted to share a little bit about her. She is a world-renowned teacher of shamanism recognized for bridging ancient cross-cultural healing methods with modern culture. She has taught for 40 years, including workshops worldwide on shamanic journeying, healing, and reversing environmental pollution through spiritual methods. She's authored 12 books, including Soul Retrieval, Mending the Fragmented Self, Medicine for the Earth, Walking in Light, and the Book of Ceremony. And I just wanted to show that I have these. These are among my very favorite books. They're on my nightstand. Sandra is passionate about helping people to reconnect with nature. And with Renee Barabosh, she has a weekly 30-minute podcast called The Shaman's Cave. I'm so honored and delighted. I'm going to start to cry to meet you, Sandra.
Thank you so much, Tassel. It's amazing to meet you too. We've been working on this for a while.
Yes.
Little delays coming in.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. I just wanted to say that you have been just a guiding light in my own journey with shamanism. And I am also a licensed marriage and family therapist, which is really interesting that we share that too. So just so delighted to meet you and honored to sit with you today.
Thank you.
So I would love to talk about anything that is near and dear on your heart. One of the questions I do often ask, if we can start with anything, is how have what you have moved through in your life, how has that contributed to your metamorphosis or your shifting through life?
Well, in shamanism, there's a lot of misunderstandings about shamanism. People think that, oh, it sounds like a great job to become a shaman. So my sponsors to my workshops and myself, you know, we're used to getting flooded with people. Sounds like a good career move, a good business. And to be quite honest with you, everybody in the shamanic community feels bad for people who actually feel like they're going to become a shaman, because the known thing about shamanism and the practice of shamanism dates back over 100,000 years. It's universal. Every one of you listening had some ancestor out there practicing shamanism. It is a universal practice. And to actually become a shaman, and I can talk about the difference between a shaman and a shamanic practitioner, there's a series of initiations that the universe puts you through. I mean, there are cultures where shamanic teachings are handed down through the generations and the elders put you through those initiations. But for so many people who their destiny is to be a shaman, but they didn't grow up in a culture where the work is passed down, they might have be a great Siberian shaman, but they didn't have an ancestor who passed it, the information down to them. So the universe starts putting you through all these tests. And the tests are, we get so attached, we forget when we're born, when we come into this world, that we're actually a spirit that came into this world to experience beauty and to create beauty with every breath and step that we take. We get lost in ego, we get lost in our body, we get lost in what society tells us we are and all the projections that are put on us. And so in shamanism, the healing power, and there's a tremendous amount of healing power and miracles that happen with shamanic healing, the shaman actually just acts as what we call a hollow bone or a vessel for the spirits to work through. So the big challenge in practicing shamanism is to quiet the mind and to realize that we're more than a body and we're more than our mind. And so the initiations that a shaman goes through is to actually take away the mind, take away the ego, destroy the body, but in the unseen realms, not in the seen realms, so that what all you are is spirit again. And once you're spirit again, you remember that you're one with the creator. All shamanic cultures believe in the creator. You remember that you're one with the creator. You're more than an ego. You're a being of light. And then you come back down and helping spirits. In shamanism, we work with divine helping spirits, intermediaries to the creator, for healing and guidance. And the helping spirits will bring in spirits to lick your bones clean and clean your organs and put you back together again. But you come back changed as a being who remembers the truth of who they are. And once a shaman remembers the truth of who they are, that's when the miracles happen. Those are the shamans you go to who are known to be able to cure miracles. So in my case, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I did not grow up in a shamanic culture. I did not have elders to put me through initiations. And so I was hit by lightning at the age of 7 in my house in Brooklyn, which was a very unusual event. And in shamanism, being hit by lightning, especially that young, is typically the sign of a shaman. I didn't speak till I was 4 years old, so God knows what world I was living in. I was a happy kid, but you know, who knows where I was living. I've had illnesses where when I was a little kid, I had to be blindfolded for a long time. That's another shamanic initiation. And I had near-death experiences, my biggest one drowning in Mazatlan, Mexico. So these are all experiences that take you back to a place of oneness. And it's in that place of oneness that the shaman has the power to bring through the energies, the frequencies that can heal people, the environment, bring balance back to the community again. And so, you know, that really shaped me. And in shamanism, we call that the wounded healer. And the reason why we call it the wounded healer is that if you heal all your wounds, sometimes you can get egotistical about people's suffering. You lose compassion. And shamans don't lose compassion for suffering. So they always have a hurt that never heals to remind them of the suffering of others. And so it's a really big responsibility to be put on the path and to have your destiny to actually be a shaman. We don't call ourselves shamans because it's seen as bragging about your power. And when you brag about your power, you get the big sure enough and lose it. So your community calls you a shaman. And just lastly, in how shamanism has evolved since I started in 1980, where I just celebrated my 42nd anniversary of my first experience with shamanism. You know, what we're seeing now is, and for a long time now since I started, is we don't have a shaman of New York, we don't have a shaman of California, people learn shamanic practices and learn healing methods and show their proficiency in the results of the work that they get.
Oh, what an amazing story, Sandra. Thank you for sharing all of those amazing experiences that you've been through and really explaining what it means to be a shaman. And I'm just wondering maybe if you wouldn't mind sharing which shamanic practices have been especially helpful for you personally on your journey. And then maybe what you find people you work with to be helpful for them, just for the listeners who may be tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been talking about this recently because it seems to be the big subject out there is how do we find balance in this crazy life that we're living? And so everybody's asking me to speak about this, and there's some really beautiful tools in shamanism that we can talk about. For one thing, a shaman is a man or woman who goes into an altered state of consciousness, typically through the use of some kind of sound, percussion, a drum, a rattle, bells, a didgeridoo. In Australia, that makes a wah, wah, wah sound. Click sticks, bowls, rattles, bells. And plant spirit medicine is used also. So shamans go into this altered state of consciousness. They do not leave their bodies. This is a big misconception about shamanism. Shamanism is not an out-of-body experience. And so when you look at the literature, a shaman is a man or woman who goes into an altered state of consciousness, as I described, and who takes their body with them into another dimension of reality, what we call the unseen worlds, the non-ordinary worlds, the dream time, the other worlds. There are so many names to it. And in those other worlds, there's what we call the lower world, the middle world, the upper world. And there are a wealth of what we call helping, compassionate spirits who live in those worlds. They take the form of animals. We hear today in popular shamanism, everybody wants to know who their power animal is. And we have guardian spirits, elves, the Devic realms, plants, trees. We have divine beings that we call teachers, who are ancestors, religious figures, mystics, gurus. All kinds of beings show up as teachers. And so this is called a shamanic journey, where the shamanic practitioner, so this would be you, would go into an altered state of consciousness using either some music on your computer or actually drumming for yourself. And you go and you meet these unbelievable spirits. They're divine. They're filled with love. They only know love, and they're looking down on us. They have a different viewpoint, and perception creates our reality. And so with their viewpoint, they can see what needs healing in our life, if we're going the wrong path. And so, such a gift. I have tens of thousands of students who have personally learned shamanic journeying from me. Imagine being able to go to these spirits who know everything and can say, Sandra, you need to take care of yourself better. You're working too much. Stop. Sandra, you need to do this. Stay still. Stop looking into the future. We don't know what's happening yet. The future is created from the present. So the spirits are always giving us how to stay in balance, how to keep our health, and they're always loving us, and they come to us and actually perform healings on us. So shamanic journeying, can you imagine having this whole team of helping, compassionate spirits who are into unconditional love just for you, not for anybody else. So that's the way I stay balanced, is working with shamanic journeying. And then in shamanism, we work with ceremonies. Ceremonies are really important. Ceremonies honor transitions. They honor changes in life, birth, death, puberty, divorces, marriage. The list goes on and on. But ceremonies also honor the transitions in nature, because we're not connected to nature. We are nature. And so ceremonies have always been done in shamanic cultures to look at the constellations, where they are in the sky and the moon, because that's how the shamans know how to do their ceremonies to call in balance. So in today's world, and how I stay balanced and how I teach my students how to stay balanced, we do fire ceremonies where we burn what are we afraid of? What are those old traumas, those old hurts we just don't need anymore? They're holding us back. And I love fire ceremonies, so I lead fire ceremonies, and I do a lot of online work, so I lead fire ceremonies in the unseen worlds where we can all work with fire. Or I like to teach people, and I use myself, I have in my living room a box of bubbles that you use as children, and I blow my what I need to let go of into the wind, and the wind is over for the earth is 4.6 billion years old, and the wind is longer than that. So imagine when the wind comes to kiss your cheek, what a gift that is. And then we can draw things on the sand and let the ocean take our hurts and our pains, or give to the river of life, or to a lake, or put stones into the earth, always remembering that we don't want to put our hurts into the elements. We want to honor the elements and thank them for their healing. So we ask that our pains and our sufferings and our old traumas and hurts and betrayals are taken by the elements, but turned into love and light that feeds the whole entire web of life, so that we all heal together. So I use ceremony. Imagine with everything going on, I'm out there. I live in the desert, so I can't work with fire, but I have my water ceremonies, I have my air ceremonies, my earth ceremonies. I have a prayer tree that is a tradition that I thought was just Central Asian, but is from all over the world, where you tie yarn very loosely on a branch of a tree that you've honored and give offerings to, and you leave prayers to take up to the creative forces of the universe. And so to let go of my hurts to the ocean, to the earth, to the air, to the fire, my God, you know, you can only imagine what kind of peace and balance that brings into your life. And then I have what's called my medicine for the earth, healing with spiritual light. And with those practices, we really understand what's been taught for thousands of years, that everything in the outside world is only a reflection of our inner state. So if we do our inner work and we focus on what are the words we're saying every day, words are magic. They have an energy, a frequency that manifests into form on earth. So I always ask, what's raining back down on you that you're talking about, and how does it feel? I love having the energy of brilliance and radiance rain down on me. I don't want hate and division raining down on me. Our thoughts, these are things that shamanic cultures teach kids as soon as they can talk. How to live a shamanic way of life, how to live a simple way of life. And so our thoughts, you know, they're like trains. They lead us to a station. Where are your thoughts taking you to? What are you daydreaming about? Are you daydreaming about all the nightmares that we're experiencing right now? Are you daydreaming about a world filled with children laughing, enough food and water and shelter for everybody on the planet and no division. What we're daydreaming manifests. So think about what you're daydreaming about. And it's not a lot of work. It's not, I promise you, but it takes discipline because we fall into the habit of all the negative words, all the negative thoughts, all the negative daydreams. So I have post-its all over my house and my desk of happy words, radiance and magic and all the words that I want to use in my vocabulary during the day. Beautiful pictures of nature. Where did you just send that thought to? Oh my God, I don't want to send that thought of division to the most beautiful tree living on this planet Earth. So these are tools, you know, that help us bring us back to a place of balance, to a place of harmony, and takes us out of the crisis mode. And then lastly, I started to talk about this because it is part of initiation. I teach this beautiful practice called transfiguration, and it's so easy to do. What all you do is you put on some beautiful spiritual music or drumming or rattling, you know, whatever you want to do. You can dance while you do this or sing. And you just imagine yourself going, just dropping deep inside yourself and imagining a beautiful golden star or golden moon or golden sun growing in your solar plexus, and allow yourself to absorb all of that light into every cell of your body and then emanate it through the earth. And I learned that from an Egyptian god who came to me in a dream and told me transfiguration was the missing piece of my environmental work. And so what's really important is to understand that we're spiritual light, and the more that we can drop into that spiritual light and walk as a being of light, everything that comes into our presence becomes light and perfect and heals, and we heal too. So I know I went on for a long bit, but these are the tools that I use every day and that I teach all my students to stay balanced in today's world.
Oh, thank you so much. That was amazing to hear these beautiful tools. I resonate so deeply with all of them. And for instance, with shamanic journeying, this is something that I do and also facilitate with others. And I know for me, it has been just a godsend. I like to say that it's free. It's available 24/7. You can do it anywhere in your own home. I know in the beginning of some of my journey, my spiritual journey, I was often looking to the external, going to different healers, and they were all wonderful, but to be able to, as you said, go into these realms and your spirit guides are there and ascended masters and you don't know who's going to show up. It's very exciting and fun, and it can feel like you're in one of those movies with Harrison Ford, like the Raiders of the Lost Ark, like just who knows what's going to happen. And yes, it's so benevolent. And I just want to ask you, because I know I had a lot of lack of confidence about shamanic journeying before I started to do it. I didn't, like you, I grew up in a very, I grew up in like a very quote unquote normal household. My parents, everyone, we were not magic and shamanic journeying, anything like that was not part of my upbringing. So I think I had a lot of lack of confidence. Oh, can other people can do that, but could I do that? And so I'm just wondering your impression. My impression is we're all able to do it. And a lot of it is really just taking that leap of faith and believing in yourself and believing in your connection with the other side. And one of the mantras I use, if I start to feel a little nervous. I say, I believe, I believe, I am willing to receive.
That's great. Yeah, what I tell people, and I don't know if everybody believes this who I tell, but I tell people that I've trained thousands of people in shamanic journeying, and everybody can journey if they keep it up. What stops people from being able to journey like you? You know, we grew up, we most of us grew up in a culture that said anything that you can't see and touch that's tangible, it doesn't exist. So right there, where we're starting from minus, we're starting from underground, because we have to get our minds out of the way. And what I tell people is, if you're saying, I'm making it up, I'm making it up, I'm making it up, because that's the biggest issue that I see in the Western world in my 40 years, I'm making it up, I'm making it up. Just agree with your mind and say, yes, I am making it up, because you're fighting your social conditioning, and you're going to spend your whole journey fighting your social conditioning. The other thing is, we live in a very visual world, and so everybody wants to see the movies in their journeys. I am not visual. I have been journeying for 42 years, so I do have all my senses that have kicked in, but I didn't for years and years and years. I'm clairaudient. I hear, and I love that, because my guardian spirits just speak to me. I don't have to. Everybody gets metaphors, and what does the metaphor mean? Sandra, what does this metaphor mean? I don't know. My helping spirit just talks to me and gives me the answer. So, you know, people don't want to be clairaudient, but it's an amazing gift. Everybody wants to be clairvoyant, and I believe it's not our most evolved sense. I'm sorry to say that. And then a lot of people, like myself too, are clairsentient, where we feel it in our bones, we feel it in our body, we know. And I believe, again, this is just my belief, that that's our most evolved sense, and that's where we should be going to. So my challenge in teaching people how to journey is, stop trying to watch more TV and do your preparation work, because people run home. On my online courses, people run home from work, they drop their bags, and they sit down and they think they're going to have a powerful experience. In shamanic culture, shamans drum for 3 to 4 hours. They dance and sing to completely get into an ecstatic state of consciousness. So, yeah, we don't have time to drum and rattle for 3 to 4 hours, but take 10 minutes and meditate, or take a walk in nature, or do some drumming and rattling, or sing a song that just shifts you. It helps you move forward from the day that you had. So the day that you had is back there, and now you're here ready to speak to the spirits. And then lastly, shamanism is not meant to be passive. I know it was brought into the Western world like that, but shamans dance and sing while they journey. And one of the things that happens to modern day practitioners is, they lay down, they put something over their eyes. Journeying in darkness helps you see in the unseen realms. We see with our hearts, and we see with our third eye. We don't see with our eyes. And then they just go to sleep. But shamans don't work like that. They're dancing, they're talking, they're screaming at their spirits. Their spirits are screaming back at them. The whole community is listening to this amazing conversation going on. In South America, they sing their journeys with their rattle. So for those of you who have been journeying and, God, it's just not working for me, number one, give yourself some slack. You grew up in a culture who said you're crazy for doing this, and just agree, and it'll free you. And start to check into what senses are you hearing your spirits? Are you feeling your spirits? Forget about the seeing. And move, try moving and dancing and singing. Try different ways. Some people do need to lie down. I know a lot of people who need to be still. But when I started teaching dancing and singing journeys, oh my God, my students were saying, finally, I just couldn't find my doorway in. So we all have to find our unique doorway in. And I promise you, and I don't make promises, I promise you, if you stick with it, and it could be even months, you will journey. But you got to be willing to experiment, and you got to be willing to do the preparation work too.
Oh, I love that. So helpful. Everything you have shared, so helpful. And I want to ask you a bit more about it, but we'll just go to a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue with the amazing Sandra Ingerman.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabeltz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Life is so unpredictable, and sometimes trauma, grief, and other circumstances leave us feeling like the walls of life are closing in on us. Vernita Bowe has been where you are. She is a Christian life coach, a motivational speaker, and a licensed minister. Let Vernita help you begin to live again. For a free 30-minute consultation, visit VernitaInspires.com.
Do you feel like love is just taking you for a ride? If you struggle to find yourself in a fulfilling romantic relationship, join me, Love Coach Mariah, in my show, Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Discover the joy of being loved as your true, authentic self. Visit LoveCoachMariah.com for more. That's LoveCoachMariah.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Tassel Faith, and you're listening to the Metamorphosis Show. We are back with the amazing Sandra Ingerman. And before we continue with this beautiful conversation about living a shamanic way of life, I just wanted to ask Sandra, what is the best way for our audience to learn more about your amazing work, to get in contact with you?
Well, a friend of mine who's an anthropologist was just in town, and he said, you know, your website is like the encyclopedia of shamanism. It's been really important to me, because of my background and history, to offer a lot of free things for people who can't afford workshops and stuff. So I have on sandraingerman.com, I have a lot of articles, really short, so you know, you don't get weighed down, really short articles on shamanic healing and what is shamanism and what is the medicine for the earth work and transfiguration. I have a lot of YouTube videos and old Huffington posts that I used to do. And I have a monthly column called the Transmutation News, and I haven't missed a month now in 22 years. And for the last 2 years, I've been doing free journeys and ceremonies where I guide everybody, so it doesn't matter if they know shamanism or not. So you could look at the Transmutation News and some of the past issues and do all these amazing free ceremonies. I have a podcast with Renee Baribeau called The Shaman's Cave, And you can look on shamanstv.com and help us out by subscribe. And I'm always trying to share as much as I can with people. And so there are amazing amount of resources. And I've been training teachers and practitioners since the early 2000s. Practitioners since the early 90s. And I have another website, shamanicteachers.com. And on that website, I have practitioners and teachers all over the world who I trained and only who I trust. I only list people who I trust. And of course, I do have to say, I did write 12 books and have 8 audio programs. And some of the books teach you how to journey, and some teach you the medicine for the earth work. And they're really simple practices, but really, really powerful. So just check out the website and see all that there is there. It's not overwhelming. It's just a lot of things for you to learn about shamanism and get help.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go to your website and look at it again. It sounds amazing. All of the amazing offerings. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I wanted to just pick up a little bit of where we left off before the break. I love that you talked about everyone having perhaps a unique doorway, a unique portal for their relationship with the helping spirits on the other side, whether it's through shamanic journeying or another way. And something I always say to people is, to me, I just sort of approach it almost like a science experiment, just sort of trying different things. When do I feel the most connected? When I'm in nature, when I'm dancing and singing, what do I notice about myself? I know actually when I wake up, between like 2 and 5 in the morning, when, you know, I've always heard the veil is the thinnest, I can feel very connected and able to connect more easily then. So I just love that you shared that it's not a one size fit all type of practice, our connection with the other side. And each one of us may have just a completely unique way that really works for us. And then I love also that you were talking about the clairsentience, how we feel on a journey. And then I wanted to ask you, it seems like we're having an invitation as we're moving to a different energy on the planet to really step out of our thinking minds, out of the ego, as you were saying in the beginning, into the heart, into how do things feel? How does my heart feel? So living from this feeling state, living from the heart mind in general, not just on the journeys, but throughout our life. Is that resonant for you too?
Oh, absolutely. I taught a course and I actually just wrote a book on the topic because I had a really tough initiation and a lot of walking through the darkness. And the very first chapter of my book and the very first session of my course, I taught that when you're in a state where we're in right now, where there's so much confusing news and we don't know what to do, that's a time when I don't want to give a bad rap to coyotes. I love coyotes, but that's when coyote spirit comes out. And all of a sudden, you know, you're talking to somebody about the issues you're having and they go, oh, I can help you. Oh, I can help you. Oh, I have the right medicine for you. Oh, I have the right practice for you. Oh, you should talk to this person. And you all of a sudden keep finding yourself walking off the path more and more and more because you've been leading by the mind. You're getting tricked by people who I can help you, where we can all help ourselves. And we have this amazing intuition that we were born with. And so we really have to learn how to allow our hearts to move from our hearts and to ask our body, what does your body want right now? What does your heart want right now? What does your mind want? Because our minds are like, we got so taken down by what's been going on the last few years, and not just the COVID, but, you know, I don't have to name it, that our mind is just searching for what's going to keep us safe and what do we need to be afraid of. And that's the wrong information. That's just coyote talking to you. Your heart knows, your soul knows. And if you follow your heart, it will definitely give you the right information for sure.
I love that so much. Just last week in one of my offerings, I did a practice with the beautiful people that were working with me. And we brought up an issue. I asked everyone, okay, just think about an issue that's been challenging for you. And first tune into your mind. What does your mind think about it? What is your mind's solutions to it? And then we just did a short practice of dropping down into our heart and then asking our heart for its heart's wisdom. How does the heart see this issue? What is the possible resolution that the heart is bringing for this? And wouldn't you know, they often were different.
Yeah, that's a beautiful exercise. That's brilliant, Tessa. I'm so glad you're bringing that to your students. It's really important. I do teach a very simple exercise about getting in touch with our intuition. If you just take me a minute to
yes, I wanted to ask you exactly that. Wonderful.
Yeah. So I learned this back when I was studying counseling psychology. Like Tassel, I have a marriage family counselor and clinical mental health counselor, whatever all that means. But when I was studying, I learned this amazing exercise that I've taught to thousands and it works perfectly. So you sit down in, you know, someplace comfortable, and you go inside yourself and you think about something that you really love. Let's say, oh my God, that full moon was so amazing. So amazing. I just love being in the presence of the full moon. And you feel what that feels like when you tell yourself a truth. I love, and you really feel it. And then you get up and just do something, dust something, or walk out of the room and walk back into the room, something really stupid and simple. And just sit back down again and close your eyes and say, I hate the moon. I absolutely hate the moon. And notice what happens in your body when you tell yourself a lie. And you'll get either a feeling, like for me, again, I'm very literal, so I get a red light, green light that hasn't failed me in all the years I've used it. For some people, they get a feeling of peace when there's the truth, or they tighten up when they're telling themselves a lie. Try it. It's really an amazing exercise, and it's guided me through my life. I am stubborn, I am a rebel, and I have gone against my intuition, and I've regretted it every time.
Oh my goodness, sister, me too. I love so much that you shared that amazing practice. And what I talk about as well is just, some of us are just getting to know our bodies again, because it seems like from when we were very little, many of us were just directed to abandon our bodies, abandon our hearts, and just go up to the thinking mind and listen to everyone else, all the cacophony of voices around us. So I love this practice you're sharing. We're just learning, like, what is the yes in my body? What is the no in my body? Like when we ask a pendulum, show me the yes, show me the, it's the same thing. We're asking our body, show me the yes, show me the no. Let's learning the communication of our body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what's gonna, if you look at probably your biggest source of strength right now and power, it's your body.
Yes.
And people are starting to wake up to that. They don't feel well. You know, we're not living in an environment that supports our health. Many of us aren't eating right or taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sensitive shamanic You're probably seeing it, Tassel. It's really amazing. I'm yes. getting flooded with messages and letters and emails about I'm very sensitive and I can't take medication and I can't take all this stuff. And I read an article about it in a women's health magazine that there's so many women now who can't even take a vitamin. They're so sensitive.
Yes.
So we haven't been listening to our body. And now our body is drawing a line in the sand.
Yes.
And our body is saying, I get to speak now.
Yes.
And you get to listen now.
Right.
And that's what's happening across the board with sensitive people. I wouldn't say the whole population, but I would say with sensitive people, they're getting that I need to start listening to my body more. And
yes.
this is a time, I'm hearing this from a lot of teachers, but I'm getting it from my spirits too. This is a time of waiting. This is not a time of action. So this is a time of rest and regeneration to get your body strong enough. So listening to what your body wants to do right now is what's going to lead you to the next step on your path. It's not giving up. It's actually, we need that regeneration like every being in nature needs. And then I think that we're going to be shown some really extraordinary stuff if we're willing to just take a break.
Yeah, I love that so much. And along the lines of what we're talking about people really being able to tune in and hear their intuition, I'm wondering your thoughts on this. I have found with myself and people I work with that if we're not feeling feelings as they arise and being present with them and moving them through us. Sometimes I know for me, it's hard for me to connect with my intuition if I'm being flooded with energies that are asking to be seen, but I might be suppressing them, pushing them down. Is that your experience as well?
Oh, absolutely. And how people work with this in shamanic communities is singing and dancing. Because singing and dancing is the one thing that will quiet your mind down. It will always, always bring you back to a place of balance. That's the one thing we know about singing. It will always bring you back to a place of balance. So if you do some singing and dancing, it's amazing how it puts you in the right state of consciousness. It really is.
And it is, and it's so interesting too, because it's usually so joyful. And yeah. So it's what is joyful to us is often the right path, right? But in our society, somehow we often get that opposite message, like, no, you need to like work harder and grind it out more rather than that path of beauty and joy, which actually will serve us the most.
Right. But the one thing that we have to remember, I really do believe, I remember being a kid, 7 years old, sitting on the couch and saying, we got this all wrong. We came here to experience beauty and joy. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to teach people this. It's not been an easy journey. But we also have to remember that because we are nature, that everything in nature grows through a challenge. And when anything stops growing, it dies. And so we need to not be afraid of the challenges. We need to understand that the challenges aren't a punishment. The challenges are to help us find that inner strength to get us through to a new evolution of consciousness. And we can't do it with our old mind and our old thoughts. We have to do it with a completely new way. So the challenges create some kind of loss for us that makes us grow into a new and better person. And so that's about living in phase and in balance with nature. And again, we're nature beings and we can't fight that. So
yes.
We have the seasons of joy and we have the seasons of some tough lessons, but the one thing that's constant is everything's going to change.
Yes. And do you believe that if we are moving through a season of challenge, a season that's uncomfortable for our human, that even within that, within us, in the core of our being, there is a place of joy and peace, no matter what we are experiencing on the external?
Absolutely. And an exercise that I give my students, and I'm really working with this a lot myself now, is going inside and imagining myself creating this beautiful inner landscape. Because again, the outside world is a reflection of our inside. And so if I'm experiencing a lot of challenges, I have a temple inside that I can go and rest in, and I have colored energies that can fill my cells. You know, we have to work with our imagination to help us move through some of the challenges and some of the strength, so that we can grow into the people who we know we can be.
Yes, I love that. That's a beautiful phrase, inner landscape. And just the understanding that no matter what I may be moving through on the external, there's always this sacred, safe, eternal peace and joy within me, in my connection with spirit and my connection with myself. And in the West, you know, we tend to go about it the backwards way, like, well, once everything is perfect on my external world, then I can be happy, right?
Exactly. I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I actually came out with this line, and I call shamans are gardeners of energy. And I actually started a Facebook group, and the trick word to get in is transfiguration, where you can only post positive, happy things, so you can take a break from the craziness of the world and find some joy. But shamans are gardeners of energy. So every word is a seed, every thought is a seed, every daydream is a seed, your presence is a seed. And we really have to look at what we're growing in our inner landscape, and go in and imagine an inner landscape, and expect your soil and see how fertile and moist it is, and if it needs food, and if some plants need to be removed or some beautiful new plants need to be planted by your words, your thoughts, your daydreams. We have so many simple tools right now to really help us.
I love that so much. Really, our greatest focus can be our inner guardian, our inner garden, and how we are fulfilling our inner garden. I love that so much. Thank you so much, Sandra. Just an immense honor, delight to sit with you, to meet you. And to all of our beautiful listeners, please visit Sandra's website. It sounds absolutely amazing. And just so delighted to have you here.
Blessings, everyone. And thank you, Tazel. It was just a delight to meet you. And it sounds like you're doing just amazing work. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Sandra. Thank you so much for listening to the Metamorphosis Show, and we will see you soon. Love to everyone.
Thank you for joining Dr. Tassel Faith, Priestess of Metamorphosis, on your road to transformation and freedom. Each step takes you closer to becoming an awakened, empowered, courageous, and a moves mountains kind of person. Join us again the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 12 noon Eastern Time for more guidance and encouragement. Until then, lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.